All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Lord, upon this time together. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, bring glory to you. Again, Lord, we just ask that you would help us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the wisdom of Sirach. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Give heed to me, O children, for I am your father, and do what I tell you, that you may be saved. For the Lord honored the father over the children, and strengthen the judgment of the father or mother over her sons. He who honors his father atones for his sins, and he who honors his mother is like one who stores up treasure. He who honors his father will be gladdened by his own children, and when he prays, he will be heard. He who honors his father will have a long life, and he who obeys the Lord will give rest to his mother. And he will serve his parents as his master. Masters, honor your mother and father in word and deed, that a blessing may come upon you from him. For the blessing of a father establishes the house of his children, but the curse of a mother uproots their foundations. Do not glory in the dishonor of your father, for your father's dishonor is no glory to you. For the glory of man is from the honor of his father, and it is a disgrace for children to dishonor their mother. My son, help your father in his old age, and do not grieve him in his life. And if his understanding fails, be considerate, and do not dishonor him in your prime. For kindness to a father will not be forgotten, and it will be credited to you instead of your sins. It may be remembered in the day of your affliction. It will be remembered in the day of your affliction. Thus your sins will melt away like frost in warm weather. He who forsakes his father is like a blasphemer, and he who provokes his mother to wrath is cursed by God." Read these verses this morning just as a reminder, just how important family, father and mother, is to humanity, and the emphasis that God places on the family and on the father and the mother. It said in one place that to remember your father is to have your sins forgiven or forgotten. God puts a lot of emphasis on the family and the home. Whenever we look at the world around us and all the confusion going on, there's very little of this type of thought that is considered. And I think a lot of that lies in churches. We've put so much emphasis on salvation or being saved and doctrine and all of those things. And we forget that God created us as men and women. And like I've said many times before, you cannot be a Christian if you're not a man and not a good man. If you're not the person that God created you to be, It doesn't matter what you try to add to that, then you're going to fall short. No matter how holy or how great you may think you are, without this foundation of just being the human being that God created you to be. That's what we build on. That's what Christianity is built on. And without that foundation, we have nothing. We can think ourselves all kinds of super spiritual, but if we ignore these principles that God made, then we're missing it. This morning, people are honoring mothers, and I want to kind of incorporate that with just parents in general. Whenever we read these verses here of how we are supposed to honor our parents and our father and our mother, consider that while you're training your children. Consider that. You see, the honor that we have for our parents doesn't necessarily just come because we will it so. Much of that comes from how we were trained growing up. And if we cannot instill in our children honor and respect for humanity and for God's order, then we're failing miserably. And so as we read this and see our responsibility in how we're supposed to, we're getting a picture, we're getting a pattern of how we are to instill this into our children. You know, we can make our children fear us and do all kinds of things like that and keep them in order, but that doesn't instill that honor and respect that we know is what is real about all of that. I've seen children that, I've seen parents that have children that were unruly, and the parent, as long as the parent's right there, the child is just the way he's supposed to be. But when the parent leaves the room, the child will just look at you and sneer at you or stick his tongue out at you or do anything, just showing that he despises you. And then the parent comes back in and, oh, he's just a little saint again. There's something missing there. Because that respect and that honor that we're talking about doesn't just go to the parent that wields the rod, but it's a respect for everyone that is older than they are, that is in a higher place than they are, even a respect for those that are the same age or smaller. You know, we talk about honor and we respect your elders, respect those that are older than you. Well, if you despise someone younger than you, then your respect for someone older than you is absolutely worthless. Because it's a respect for humanity. It's a respect for God as being one of God's creations. We can instill our children to honor those that are older, but then they'll be a bully maybe to those that are their own age or those that are younger. We've missed something. Instilling honor in our children comes from who we are. It comes from who we are. Whenever we talk about training children, I often said that children are not that difficult to train. It's parents that are the hard ones to train. Because if a parent will be what they are supposed to be, then their child training should come pretty simple. I mean, I know there's children that are extra difficult, but for the most part, if the parents are who they are supposed to be, they'll be passing on, not just through a training regiment, but through their very character of who they are onto their children. You see, that's where it all really comes down to. It's about our character. In James, it talked about one who's tossed about to and fro. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, sometimes we'll hear a message on child training and we'll be all diligent for a while about it. But then pretty soon we'll lax and go right back to how we were. Just kind of back and forth, back and forth. Well, that's instilling confusion in our children. And it's not just about our consistency. That consistency comes from who we are in our character. You know, in James, I'll just turn there, James chapter 3. James chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of the humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. We'll stop right there. James talks about, in verse 2, it says, considering it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. This is where character comes from. This is where we learn that consistency that it takes to train our children. A lot of times we don't like opposition. We don't like testing. We don't like to have to try our patience to be tried. But all those things, they build character. And they help us become firm and consistent, so that we're not tossed to and fro. We learn to be a rock. And so whenever we talk about consistency in child training, it's not just a determination to have the same rule every time. It's a consistency of character that even though situations come, we're going to come out with proper judgment. And we're going to come out with proper wisdom, to the point where sometimes to somebody looking on, we think, well, he did this one way and this another way. But the consistency of character will help us to make those decisions to where our character is the same and consistent with every situation. And our children will see that there's something deeper than just a set of rules that we're living by. You know, we can train ourselves to be religious robots, and we can train our children to be religious robots. But that's not going to build the character in them that's needed. Whenever we look at true character, we can see what it takes to build that honor into them. Sometimes it takes going through things. Here it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Whenever we're training our children, we're doing it as a responsibility that God has laid upon us. Not just to, like I said, just to teach them to obey rules, not just to teach them to obey you, but to instill the character in them that they need to live life. Not just how to obey a bunch of rules. That these things that we're trying to teach them are things that we are trying to learn ourselves, so that we can see the character of what we want in our children and have that very character ourselves, so that we have something to actually give them and to instill in them. Training children is a lifetime thing. The children change from age to age. Sometimes we have older children, sometimes we have younger children in the same family. You can't train them. It's not a blanket coverage training. As the older ones get older, you let go and let them make some decisions on their own. Well, the younger ones are not allowed to do the things that the older ones maybe can do. But if it's just a set of rules that you're living by, it looks inconsistent. Because, well, he can do that, and we can't. So the little children, that's why I think a lot of times there's some differences in between how we raise the first ones and we raise the last ones. Because we begin to be looser with the later ones than we were the earlier ones, because we've adapted to allow the older ones. But we got to remember, each one is where they're at. And it's the character of who we are that can distinguish the differences and the different ages. Training children is a big responsibility for the mother. Father's not with them all the time, but he can be a guide. He can give instructions. He can be the one that lays down the principles and the ideals that he would like to see instilled in his children. But it's the mother that is the one that is going to have to carry this out. She's with them. I've preached about before, what the world needs is some mean mothers. That sounds all kind of confusing and all bad. And in actuality, they're not really mean. They're just consistently firm. And to the children, they may look like a meanie, almost cruel. But she sees something deeper than what their little wants are, their little feelings are. She's training them to have character, not just follow their emotions, not just get their way, not just be made happy by the mother. It's not the mother's place. If you want to truly train your children to dishonor you, give them everything they want. Just set about and make it your life's goal just to keep them happy. That's how you'll train them to dishonor you. But you train them consistently to obey when they're told, not get everything they want when they want it, not just fall apart when they start crying, and trying to get them to stop at anything that you can do to make them happy. That's not going to train children that are honorable and respectful. That destroys their character. You know, it's whenever they cry and fuss, it gets on our nerves. And sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to get them through that instead of just appease them, instead of just getting them to stop, because it bugs me. Look at the child. You want them to stop because they need to learn something. You know, I've told before that, you know, a lot of, I've seen it a bunch. Children will start squawking in church and they'll start fussing. And then as soon as the mother stands up, they quit, because they know they're going in the back, and that's a nice place back there. They don't have to just sit still. They don't have to just sit quiet. If you have to get up to train your children, or get up to quiet your children from church, make them know back there is not a pleasant place. That when you stand up, they probably need a little pinch when you stand up. As soon as they start crying, to know that this is not what I want. And going back there is not a nice place. Just little things to let them know that you're in charge here and not them. They learn real quick that to manipulate you. And your heart just breaks to see them cry or not get their way. It takes consistency of character to get you through those things. And they will rise up and call you blessed. But if you give them what they want all the time and they control you, they despise you, they don't honor you, they despise you. And that's exactly the opposite of what the Bible talks about as being what's needed. There's nothing more this world needs than mothers. Nothing more. We look at the world today, and the world today is in the place it's in today because there wasn't mothers trying to instill character. They were trying to instill happiness, or trying to instill pleasing yourself, trying to instill get what you want out of this world, or they didn't do anything at all. There's a reason God puts this honor on parents, fathers, and mothers. It's because it is foundational in how a church goes. It's foundational in how the nation goes. It's foundational in how all humanity goes. The things that are going on in the world today are a direct result of mothers who didn't take their job seriously. You know, I grew up and it was just something to be despised to have to stay home and train children. That's the biggest responsibility that this world has. It's the greatest need that this nation has. It's the greatest need that the churches have. It's not just a boring stay home and have to be a mom job. You're shaping the church. You're shaping the nation. You're shaping the world. I told the stories. I grew up with the nicest old lady, the nicest old mom you ever heard of. She raised boys in Purdy, and she just was the nicest mother. And the children just loved their mother because she let them do whatever they wanted. She went, took them to church, but she didn't do her duty. One of the men got in a fight one night, killed another man. One of the other boys shot a policeman and was put to death on death row. But boy, they had a nice mother. God doesn't need nice mothers. He needs godly mothers. And you don't have to be a tyrant, but you need to be consistent and firm. You need to be the mother of the child, not the child. Not be the servant of the child. It's a lot easier for us whenever we're trying to teach them something just to, oh, never mind, I'll just do it myself. We might not say that, but we do that a lot of times. You're not teaching the child anything. You might have got the job done 5 minutes quicker. And it might have been easier on you, but you failed. Whenever you're teaching them, training them to do something, it takes patience. It takes, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. These are really good verses whenever it comes to training our children. It may seem like we just try and try and try and they just don't get it. We'll just keep trying and more. It takes endurance. But you having the consistency of character to see it through. One thing I appreciate and like to see is whenever children honor older people. We've talked about it before. Whenever men are talking, a child comes running through and just elbowing, and or women talking and just the child comes crashing through and runs over people. They need to learn early that there should be respect for older people. We've taught children before. Come up a group of men talking, go around them. It don't matter if you have to go all the way around the building. Just little things like that that instills respect. And if you want your children to honor you, you need to teach them to honor humanity. They should be taught that they don't butt in and ask all kinds of questions. If you want them to know anything, you'll tell them. And they should never backtalk their mother. They should never backtalk their mother without getting a smack on the lips or a thump on the head. It just shouldn't happen. And if the father would see the children backtalking the mother, he ought to be the one to do it. It just shouldn't happen. If you want to instill them, if you want them to honor you when you're old, you better instill honor in them when they're little. All the time. Anyway, well, praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings. May God help us to be what we need to be, to have the character to guide our families, so that we can be a light to the church, and we can be a light to the world, we can be a light to the nation, because when that's broken down, we get just what we have: total chaos, total confusion, total dishonor, and a bunch of spoiled brats making all the decisions for us. It starts with us.
This week we're supposed to bring a thought out of song number 348. And I thought it was kind of neat how at the end of the third verse, the songwriter said, "Who serves the Father as a son is surely kin to me." I thought that was kind of a neat way of saying that he's a Son of God, instead of just saying it straight out, just kind of saying it a little bit different. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
I thought about in verse 1, it says, "In Christ there is no east or west, in Him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth." So we can't measure God by what we have here on earth, because He's greater than that. And He's not just one set of rules or for some special group of people, but He's in our hearts.
I thought about the second verse, "In Him shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. His service is the golden cord close binding all mankind." I thought about how it's true heart that counts, and we can have fellowship with people that aren't exactly like us as long as they are truly trying to follow the Lord.
I thought about it. It says, "In Christ there is no east or west, in Him no north or south or north." And in some religions, and I know the Jews used to do this too, like they thought they would have to, you know, pray in a certain direction, like towards Jerusalem, or some religions feel like they have to go to some special sacred place. And but you can worship God and be at one with Him wherever you are in the world.
I got that the last part of the second to last verse, "Who serves the Father as a son is surely kin to me." And if we're serving Him as a son, that really brings a fellowship to have brothers doing the same thing, and it's a blessing.
I like where it says, in Him all Christly souls are one." And the other part says, like it's saying, from east to west, we're joined to Him at the end. I really think that's nice, how we can simply just, when we serve Him, we can just be part of Him, the good side.
I thought about how it says all east and west and north and south, it's all one in God. There's not different churches or whatever, it's all one church.
I was reading through this earlier, and
the third verse, it says, "Join hands and brothers of the faith, whatever your race may be, who serves my Father as a son is surely kin to me." And it's just, it doesn't matter where you are or what you believe, as long as you have that, as long as you believe in Jesus or whatever, then you, it doesn't matter. You're all one in Him.
Kind of the same thing Chet did. I don't know if we're reading the same minds there, but join hands and brothers of the faith, whatever your race may be. He who serves my Father as Son is surely kin to me. No matter where we are, no matter what race we are, we can all serve Christ. And those people who serve Christ and have the same common goal, I think we can all be, have fellowship with one another.
Morning, y'all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your many blessings to us. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Thank you for allowing us all to gather here safely. Be with us as we go throughout the rest of our day. Help us to hear your words this morning. Be with Raj's family in India that they're grieving right now. And all the other people that are grieving around the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, this morning I was thinking, I've actually been pondering this for about 4 or 5 weeks now, what to talk about on Sunday morning when it was my turn. And one thought just kept reoccurring to me the whole time was how we talk. Our words. I kicked around several ideas. This morning I was sitting there just trying to come up with something and I couldn't think, and then I just opened the Bible and the first verse I read, I remember, I think it's in the Wisdom of Sirach, it said something about the words we talk, or something about the way we talk, or the words we use. And I just thought, well, that's it, because I've been thinking about that for 4 or 5 weeks now. But I was going to go to James 3, chapter 3, and just kind of read a few verses there. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." I don't really have a lot to say, I guess, about that, but just think sometimes how often we just talk the talk, and we say things we don't really mean, or even jokingly, you know, with our brothers or friends, you know, we say things that maybe are true or not true, or just... we just talk so much, and a lot of the times it doesn't need, a lot of things don't need to be said a lot of times, and we sometimes we get right to a point where we don't say something wrong, but we kind of push ourselves, or, you know, we lead up to that, like we're going to say something wrong, so everybody, you know, it like they were talking about last week, the imagination. We try to get people to imagine something wrong in the way we talk, and instead, and you know, we just, and not everything's just yes, like it talks about in Matthew, let your yea be yea and your no be no. You know, it just, we try to, I just want to encourage us to really think about the way we use words and how we talk about it, because the imagination is an evil thing. It can be a very evil thing, and if we use it as such. But that's all I had this morning. Thank you.
Where? Well. Share.